Readings today start out on a very hopeful note. The Lord has come to call people from all nations, all races. And then, in the second reading, He disciplines His children. He calls us into His family, and His work is not done. He continues to discipline us to help us grow in holiness so that we can become more and more the beloved sons and daughters that He made us to be and that we ourselves want to be. Great news! God gives us so much grace, so much blessing, you know, above all giving us His very self in the person of Jesus. And then we can literally partake in our Lord Jesus in communion, be filled physically and spiritually with all that grace. So amazing! God's so good to us. The danger is presumption. Thinking that, wow, God's given us so much grace. How could anyone really screw this up? Like, probably everyone's going to heaven. That would be not a good way to look at the blessings God has given us. It's not to overestimate how good God is. You can't do that. But it's to overestimate our strength, or rather underestimate our weakness. And that is why our Lord Jesus preached the words He did today in today's gospel. And so frequently, as perhaps you know in the gospels, when someone asks Him, Lord, will only a few be saved? You might think Jesus would say, of course, all are welcome, man. That's why I came. But He doesn't. We know He's come to save everyone. We know everyone has the ability, the grace, the freedom to choose heaven. But what our Lord says, I don't even like to read it a second time, right? Strive to enter through the narrow gate, for many, I tell you, will attempt to enter, but will not be strong enough. And then after the master of the house has arisen and locked the door, you'll be outside, saying, Lord, let me in. And He'll say, depart, evildoer. Our Lord speaks frequently about hell, damnation, and the fact that we have the freedom to choose that life. All through the New Testament and his preaching, you think of the parable of the sheep and the goats. You know, the goats on His left doesn't turn out well for them. Depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. In the Gospel of John, our Lord says, the hour is coming when all who are in the tombs will hear the voice and come forth. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, those who have done evil to the resurrection of judgment. And we heard what we heard in today's gospel from Luke has a parallel in Matthew, which you might have even kind of been hearing in the background. Matthew adds a little bit more, saying, enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide, and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. The gate is narrow, and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. You know, talking about this image of a marriage feast that will come, when He returns, He says that, you know, in this feast, some will come who will not be wearing a wedding garment. They also will be told to depart into the place where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. And in Matthew's gospel as well, our Lord just says it plainly, many are called, but few are chosen. The rest of the New Testament is not that much more positive. In the book of Acts, we're told again about this idea that there are some who are ordained eternal life, and those are the ones who have chosen to believe in the preaching of Christ and His apostles. And those who have disbelieved have judged themselves unworthy of eternal life. In the first letter of St. Peter, he writes, if the righteous man is scarcely to be saved, where will the impious and the sinner appear? In the book of Revelation, we're told, as for the cowardly, the faithless, the polluted, murderers, fornicators, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their lot shall be the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. The scripture is very clear that God's plan in our Lord Jesus is to save everyone. He wishes that all men would come to be saved and come to the knowledge of truth. And we know for certain that the grace of Christ is far more powerful than sin. We're told by St. Paul in Romans, where sin increases, God's grace abounds all the more. Which I think should be the motto for WVU. Like, it would be perfect. WVU, where sin abounds, or grace abounds all the more. We have that hope. Like, it's not pious platitudes. Like, we know for certain Every human being, no matter how sinful he or she is, how weak, the grace abounds even more. All that we need to choose our Lord, to not like magically become a saint overnight, but to gradually grow into that life that the Lord wishes for us. And yet our Lord tells us, despite that fact, many will not choose to go that way. Not because God damns them or pushes them away, rejects them, but because we, in our foolishness and our weakness, give in to the temptations of the devil, who can convince us, we can lie to ourselves even, that, you know, God, despite all the goodness he offers, you know, what I want is better. We go to the church fathers and the tradition of how these passages have been interpreted, and it's even worse. If you look at all the theologians from the beginning of the church until today, their consensus is that there will be more souls in hell than in heaven. And if you look at the church fathers and their writings, St. Theodore, St. Basil, St. Ephrem, St. John Chrysostom all have this very pessimistic view. St. John Chrysostom writes this: among thousands of people, there are not 100 who will arrive at their salvation. And I am not even certain of that number. So much perversity there is among the young, and so much negligence among the old. Then among the Latin fathers, St. Gregory, St. Anselm, St. Augustine. The worst off is St. Jerome, who says, at the end of this life, out of 100,000 people whose lives have always been bad, we'll barely find one who's worthy of eternal life. And Thomas Aquinas teaches that, you know, of course, we don't know how many people are saved, how many people are damned, but nonetheless, because of our fallen human nature and our pride, more are expected to fall into hell than to actually to achieve the goal that God has for us. This is just a hard fact. To be honest, I hadn't read this stuff that carefully before writing this homily. I was a little, I was like worried. Like, what the heck? Where's the hope here? Thought that's what the Lord had for us. And then I came to realize this is probably why the saints so frequently said they had a yearning, a thirsting for souls in their prayers and their work. They yearned to bring people to salvation, because the reality is most people will not make it. And if we don't realize that, one, we're not going to take this life seriously enough, and we're probably not going to help other people as much as we could, praying for them, working for them, taking the call to prayer, almsgiving, and sacrificing seriously. Jesus didn't preach about hell the way he did because he wanted us to despair. He wanted to avoid presumption. Because you see, the church really arranges this beautifully today. We have that hope. God calls us all. He continues working in our lives, disciplining us like a perfect father. And yet, it balances with this realization that few will be saved. Like, you have to have this mature understanding of this life if you're going to survive and to thrive here, to become a saint. Some people will say, like, well, how can God be good if hell exists? The only person who would say that is someone who doesn't truly understand what love is, just in general, and definitely doesn't understand the love of God. Father Mike Smith has a great video. If you leave here today thinking, like, Father Zabo, he's just full of baloney, watch his video. He's got two of them, actually. This one's called Hell is for Real. Father Mike Smith makes this very, very important point for keeping us from despair, which you might be feeling right now. I was earlier this week. And also keeping us from presumption, thinking, who cares? Don't worry. Everyone goes to heaven. Father Mike Smith says, if there was not a hell, God would be a monster. Because this life, be honest, is filled with suffering. No matter who you are, some of us certainly bear more suffering than others, but no one escapes it. So if everyone was just going to heaven, why on earth would God condemn us to this life? Why would he make us live here for all these years? The fact is, God does love us. He's given us free will so that love can actually come about. He doesn't force us to love him. That wouldn't even be love. He gives us a choice in this loving relationship he calls us to. And so if there's no option to choose against him, then God, he would be a monster. Father Mike Schmitz explains that hell is that real chance for us to choose to be apart from God, because this is a real relationship. We actually have that freedom. Hell is not a place that God arbitrarily sends you if he doesn't like you, if you don't say your prayers the right way or something like that. Hell is your and my choice. There's a little-known saint, Saint Leonard of Port Maurice. He puts it this way, no one is damned unless he commits a mortal sin. And as we know, no one commits a mortal sin unless he wants to, unless he freely knows and chooses something that's gravely wrong. This is an undeniable theological proposition. Therefore, no one goes to hell unless he wants to. The consequence is obvious. Weep over your past sins, make a good confession, sin no more in the future, and you will be saved. For it is certain that you have to commit a mortal sin to go to hell, and that to commit a mortal sin you must want to, and that consequently no one goes to hell unless he or she wants to. It's not an opinion, it's an undeniable and very comforting truth. And this homily should not comfort you in the sense of like blissful ignorance. You know, maybe some of you all were living in that, maybe before today, like kind of I was. Yeah, God's good. Probably everyone's going to go to heaven. They're all going to have so many chances. No, the reality is we're comforted in the fact there's a real choice, and we need to work hard at that choice. And that if we do our part with all the grace God gives us, as we heard in the first readings, calling us into his family, disciplining us throughout our life, if we just cooperate with that, we'll make it to heaven. It's a choice that we... You can't mess it up. It's not like you're going to find the end of your life like, oh, dang, I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't choose that. You're like, oh, whoops. No. Every action we take in thought or deed, we know whether it's calling us farther towards heaven or farther towards hell. That's why God gave us a conscience. We can certainly numb it, but with the church's teaching and God's grace, you know what you're supposed to do. And so... And how do we move forward from this point? Well, there's two things that really I hope you'll take away from this homily. One is, hell is real. And Jesus preached about it because, seriously, there's a grave danger of us going there. And that should keep us from presumption. Please never think like, oh, you know what? I've got this issue. I don't like it. I wish I didn't have it, but there's nothing I can do about it. God, you know, he knows me. He'll let me through. No big deal. Never presume. And also, please never despair. Because that would be to not recognize how much grace God has given us. There's this beautiful mean between presumption and despair. And it's called working out your salvation with fear and trembling. Fully aware of God's greatness. Fully aware of our weakness. And if you have a Magnificat, there's a little poem after the readings today. And it has this, it puts the image this way of a soul at that narrow gate. And the soul is there before the narrow gate. And humbly, it's pleading with God, please help me squeeze through, Lord. That's what our life should be here on earth. Always thinking like, man, I am weak. I'm so sinful. I feel helpless sometimes. But that doesn't lead you to despair. It just humbles that pride which got us into this mess in the first place and leads you to the Lord, to the sacraments, to daily prayer, to fraternity with brothers and sisters in Christ, doing your best to avoid sin and to do good. And so I just invite you, secondly here, to consider, are you doing those things? At least what's the next step? Has it been a really long time since you've been to confession? Confessions have like doubled here since last year. This is great. And I always assume that if I don't see you in confession, that you're probably going to somewhere else because you're tired of me giving you rosaries as your penance. People are like, Father, can you just give me 3 Hail Marys? I'm like, no! You should be praying a daily rosary anyway, so it shouldn't be any harder for you. So I want you to go to heaven. So I'm always going to assume, if I don't see you in confession, you're going to Father Maurice, you're going to Monsignor Cincinnati, you're going to Father Bijou at St. Luke's. Don't worry, I'm never going to judge like that. But if you are not going to confession, it's not a guarantee that you'll go to heaven, because the saints have talked frequently about people who confess bad, they withhold sins, they go in, they don't really care about it, it's just kind of routine, and they'll go to hell. But one thing's for certain, every saint who's in heaven confessed regularly. And so if confession is not, it's something you're just like, well, I do it maybe every now and then, even though I'm dealing with a lot of mortal sins. No, you do it regularly, weekly if it needs to be, because of those mortal sins, so that you can get the grace of the Eucharist, start making steps forward. Or is it daily prayer? Are you still not praying every day? Every time I've told people in confession or preached about 5 minutes a day, are you still not even doing 5 minutes a day? Well, you know, nothing wrong with a little bit of fear of hell to kind of motivate you, to get on your knees. 5 minutes. Start small. The Lord, He's not asking too much of us. He just wants us to start wherever we are. You need to get back to confession. You need to just recommit to weekly Sunday Mass. Is it just daily prayer? 5 minutes in the morning, 5 minutes in the evening. Start there. Are you ready for the daily rosary? And you're like, I know I should say a daily rosary, Father, but it's hard. Come to confession. I'll give you that for your penance. It'll help you. What? Think. That's what you should leave the day. I'm not going to be presumptuous ever again. I'm not going to despair ever again. As I know the Lord has given us, you know, all the grace we need, and I know I'm weak, and that holds me in that fear and trembling, working out my salvation, coming humbly before the Lord. And also just think, what do I need to do next? Take that step forward. That is the step that will lead you closer to this narrow gate. And the reason why many, if not most, people will end up in hell, again, is not because God's a monster. It's because so few are willing to just do that, to just take the next step. That's what needs to remind you about the severity of what this life is about, and also the love of God. It's not His fault. It's us. Look at yourself. I look at myself, and I'm like, yeah, this is true. We're the ones who are unwilling to even do a little bit for God. So do that today. As we approach now Holy Communion, think like, all right, Lord, what's that next step I need to take? Help me take it. Ask for that grace in communion. If you need to go to confession, come up with your arms crossed. See me after Mass. We have confessions every day during the week. Get that taken care of. Take that next step. Because that's all the Lord asks. There'll be a lot more next steps. I'm still taking next steps. I preach to myself every time here. And if you persevere in that, baby steps towards holiness, that's what will get us to heaven. And you'll see also, that's the greatest gift you can give to all your loved ones who maybe don't get to hear a homily like this, who maybe aren't even coming to church. If you become a saint, just like all the saints before us, you'll attract so many people to you. They'll see in you the need to get serious about their own faith. And then, Lord willing, we make it to heaven, and we'll see that we brought many others there with us.